All right, we're going to start here on the bottom of Chaf Gimel Amud Bet, about 15 lines up from the bottom. Here the Gemara is continuing to discuss, after it concluded, about what exactly is the difference between Chizkiyah and Rabbi Abahu. Now the Gemara goes into, or launches into, an alternative approach here based on a question that was posed, which is Yativ Halmi Rabbanon, Kamei de Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachmani. Yativ, V'kamar Mishmei de Rabbi Shua ben Levi. This Rabbanon was sitting before Rabbi Shua ben Nachmani, and he said in the name of Rabbi Shua ben Levi, Minayin the Chol Yisurim Shebetorah. How do you know for all Yisurim in the Torah, the Heichid Asurim Be'achila, Achinami Asurim Be'hana'a? That the Isur is not just an Isur Achila when you're dealing with Isurim, but there's also an Isur Hana'a that's associated with that. Umay Nihu. What are these areas that we're looking for? Chametz Be'Pesach, V'shura Niskal. Is the two areas where we know there's an Isur Hana'a, not just an Isur Achila. So where's the source for the fact that Chametz B'Pesach V'Shura Niskal have an Isur Hana'a? Minayin, where do we know that from? So typically, Milo Yachel. We should learn it out from Lo Yachel, like Chizkiyah did. Lo Yachel, Isur Achila Mashmalei, Isur Hana'a Lo Mashmalei. That doesn't work, because the Isur of Lo Yachel only means an Isur Achila, does not mean an Isur Hana'a. He disagrees with Chizkiyah's approach to say that Lo Yachel means not only an Isur Achila, but also an Isur Hana'a. So typically, Minevela. So let him learn it out of Nevela the same way that Rabbi Abahu does, that by Nevela, since there's a special dispensation to get the Heter Hana'a, the implications are that the Isur Achila there also includes an Isur Hana'a. So there he says, no, Savalaka Rabbi Yehuda. Damar davarim kichtavam. Now he holds like Rabbi Yehuda, who says that when it comes to Nevela, the reason that you have the heter, the dispensation to get Hana'a there, is because of the Netinyan Ger and the Mechira Lenachri. Rabbi Yehuda says that that pasuk is not extraneous. That pasuk can't teach you that there's an Isur Hana'a, because there's a necessity for that pasuk to teach you exactly what you're supposed to do with a Nevela. So Gemara says, okay, Isavar like Rabbi Yehuda. If he holds like Rabbi Yehuda, typically Mehechad and Afkalei Rabbi Yehuda. We've seen Rabbi Yehuda before. We saw Rabbi Yehuda by Rabbi Abahu before also. And we know that Rabbi Yehuda has an alternative from where he learns out the Isur Hana'a. What's the alternative? Melekelev tashlichunoto. By the kelev tashlichunoto, by the basar trefa. Basar trefa, we said you give it to the kelev. That's where you have a heter hana'a. Otherwise, there's an Isur Hana'a. So, okay, if you hold like Rabbi Yehuda, then you have Mekelev Teshlichunoto. No, because he's Kasavar Chulin Shenishchatu Bezara De'oraita. As opposed to, when we learned this with Rabbi Abahu, the word Oto was used by Rabbi Meir to teach us that Oto you can get Hana'a from, but not Chulin Shenishchatu Bezara. So the Gemara says, what about the fact that we have Rabbi Yehuda, who using Mekelev Teshlichunoto to teach us about Isur Hana'a? What does he do about Chulin Shenishchatu Be'Azara? The answer was that he thinks it's Midrabanan. That means, if you really believed it was D'Oraita, it was Mina Torah, then you wouldn't have Mikelev Tashlichunoto as extraneous pasuk to teach you at Isur Hana'a. Basically, what they've done is taken away all the limudim that we had so far. One limud is for Chizkiyah, which is Lo Yachel. He says Lo Yachel means Isur Achila, not Isur Hana'a. Second is Nevela. Nevela is the extraneous pasuk that there's a heter hana'a by nevela. There, we said, no, that's like Rabbi Yehuda, devarim kichtavam, to teach us the din that there's netina leger and mechira lenachri. So that's not extraneous. Lakelev tashlichunoto was our third attempt at saying that there's an Isur Hana'a, except for here, where there's a special dispensation. Gemara says again, no, lakelev tashlichunoto we need for the drusha by chulin shenishchatu be'azara, to teach you that this has a heter hana'a, basar b'sadeh b'treifa, meaning that a treifa has a heter hana'a, but not chulin shenishchatu be'azara. Once you do that, you have no extraneous psukim left to teach you Isur Hana'a. So now, where is the source for this Isur Hana'a? Once again, by chametz, the only thing that shows up in the Torah is an Isur Achila. So how do we know that chametz is also asur be'hana'a? Because we've taken away all the other vehicles for that limud. We've taken away lo yachel, we've taken away nevela, we've taken away the kelev tashlichunoto. So where is the source for hana'a? So minayim. So where does he know it from? Gemara says, dichtiv, because it says in the pasuk in Vayikravav, v'chol chatat asher yuva midama, any chatat, this is talking about a chatat achitzona, if its blood is brought inside the Kodesh, the Kodesh HaKodeshim, where it's not supposed to go, then Shein Tam Lomer Ba'esh Tisareif, it gets burnt. So Ma Tam Lomer Ba'esh Tisareif, why is it telling you that it gets burnt? So Im Einu Inyan LeGufo, if you don't need it for Ba'esh Tisareif, Dichtiv V'nei Soraf, because we already know that din from the story later on by Moshe Rabbeinu. So V'tenei Inyan LeChol Yisareim Mishav Torah. So then we'll move it over and use it for Chol Yisareim Mishav Torah. So just taking a big picture over here, Here we're talking about chataot. With regards to chataot apnimiyot, chataot apnimiyot are chataot whose blood is brought into the kodesh or into the kodesh hakodoshim. With any chatat, when their blood is brought inside, the result is that the animal is taken out to sreifa. The chalavim end up on the mizbech chitzon, but otherwise, the remainder of the animal is burnt. Mechutz tamachane is burnt. That's true of the paran seyor shel yom kippurim. That's true of the parhelim dover shel tzibur, seyor shel avodah zarah. All the parim and sarim are nisrafim, which they're called, or that go pnima, are nisrafim. So that means that with all chataot pnimiyot, we know specifically from the Torah that they're nisrafim. Then we have an incident that takes place with Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron. It's a story at the end of Parshat Shmini. And there, the Torah describes a interaction between Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron and his children. And Moshe gets upset about the fact that they're burning the chatat. Madua lo achaltem et chatat bimkom hakodesh, ki kodesh kodeshim hu, va'ota natan lechem laseit et avon ha'ida lechaper lehem lifnei Hashem. Hein lo huva et amayla kodesh pima, achol tochlu ota b'kodesh kasher tziveti. And Moshe checks in, he says, why did you burn the chatat? He says, "Hein huva dama el hakodesh pnima." Was it because the blood of the chatat was taken inside? Oh, because then I would understand that it was burnt. So from that story, you already know that if a chatat's blood was taken internally, that would be burnt. So now I have a separate pasuk here in Vayikra Vav that tells us v'cho chatat asher yuva midama va'esh tisareif. So that's completely extraneous because I have twice the same piece of information. I have that piece of information in Vayikra Vav. And I also have that same information in Rikra Yud in the story with Aaron and Moshe. There are a number of chataot that are brought on that day, because it's a Yom HaShmini, which is the Miluim. It's a Yom HaShmini, it's also Rosh Chodesh Nisan. It's also the first day in Parshat Naso that the Nisi'im brought their karbanot. So the discussion of the chatat there, it's not clear what chatat they're speaking about. Rashi over here claims that it's the Seir Nachshon. It's talking about the Seir of Nachshon on Yom HaShmini, which is the Seir from Parshat Naso that the Nisi'im bring in the Mishkan, beginning on Rosh Chodesh Nisan. What's interesting is, Rashi over here mentions it's a Seir Shel Nachshon, but yet in Chumash, Rashi clearly says it's a Seir Shel Rosh Chodesh. And so too, over here, Tosafot says, I don't know where Rashi got that it's the Seir Shel Nachshon. It definitely should be the Seir Shel Rosh Chodesh. The difference being that there are certain Seirim that were what we call Horat Sha'ah, are one-time events. There are other Seirim Chatot that are brought that are Lidorot. And the difference being here that Seir Nachshon, as well as the Seir of the Miluim, were Horat Sha'ah. And therefore they had a special din. Seir Rosh Chodesh was the typical Seir Chatat that was brought on Rosh Chodesh. And therefore it didn't have the special dinim. And that's why it makes more sense that that Parsha is addressing that Seir Rosh Chodesh. Based on that, the fact that it's Seir Rosh Chodesh makes a lot more sense because Seir Rosh Chodesh is differentiated from all the other Karbanot that are brought on that day, which are Horat Sha'ah. And therefore, Moshe had a special instruction with regards to those karbanot, that despite the fact that they were now onanim, or that they were avelim, their brother, their son, had just died. And Moshe says that you're not allowed to leave the Mishkan, and you have to eat all the karbanot. So the fact that that was the din on that day was a horat sha'ah, and horat sha'ah associated with karbanot that are horat sha'ah, which would be the miluim, as well as Seir Nachshon. Seir Rosh Chodesh, which is a classic or normal type of korban, in that case, it didn't have the dispensation. That's basically the argument that Aaron makes to Moshe, and in the end, Moshe agrees to Aaron's position. So it's strange here that Rashi says it's Seir Shel Nachshon, most likely it was Seir Shel Chodesh. Leaving that aside, the basic point of the Gemara is that I have two psukim telling me the same information, which is, if I have a chatat achitzona, I have a chatat that's brought on the outside mizbeach, then if the blood of that chatat is taken internally into the Kodesh or Kodesh Kodashim, that chatat ends up bisreifa. So now the question is, why do I have this extra pasuk or the extraneous pasuk here? Based on the fact that we have these two psukim that describe the same piece of information, now we have an extraneous pasuk that teaches this information about a chatat. That a chatat whose blood is taken pnimo goes to sreifa. And Rashi says this is halacha Moshe Mesinai, zumida b'torah, davar shlohu tzrach lugufo. Something we know it's not necessary for its own sake because it's extraneous. Then tenehu l'inyan acher. Then you take it to where you need it.
The till mode.
Davar, the davar, cher, v'chol amidot halacha l'moshe misinai. And you can move it from one object to the other, and that's halacha l'moshe misinai. So what's Gemara doing here is exactly that. Gemara says, imenu enu yigufo, I don't need this pasuk about esh tisareif, v'chol chatat for its guf, dichtiv hinei saraf. Because I already know that from the story with Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron that's found in Parshat Shmini. Let me transfer it over to the rest of the Isurim Sheba Torah, that any Isur in the Torah now will require Esh B'Tisareif. With regard to Achila, I don't need that. I already have explicit Psukim that tell me that these Isurim have an Isur Achila with them. So therefore, Tneyu Li'inyan Isur Hana'ah. So therefore, I'm going to basically hijack this Pasuk, which has no purpose internally because it's already information that we know. And now I'm going to transfer it over and use it for the Isur Hana'ah where I need it. So that's how the Gemara works. How it actually works through this is not so simple. Rashi describes it one way. Tosafot describes it another way. It's not the simplest way that it works, but the assumption being that they have some sort of Misorah, that this is what the Pasuk was used for. So now the Gemara says, Imakan b'sreifa, av kol Isurim shebetorah b'sreifa. That, if that's the source for Isur Hana'ah in the Torah, that would mean that anytime you have an Isur Hana'ah, you gotta burn it, which isn't always the case. So how can you learn from here and end up with Sreifa? So Amar Kra, the Pasuk says, Bakodesh, Ba'esh Tisareif. So that only Bakodesh b'sreifa, Ve'en Kol Isurim Shebetorah b'sreifa. I have a mute in that Pasuk that tells me that only things that are in Kodesh end up b'sreifa, but other things will not end up b'sreifa. Now the Gemara says, wait a minute. That's why it's there. That's what the necessity of that pasuk is. We need that for the din of Rabbi Shimon, the Tanya. Rabbi Shimon omer b'kodesh ba'esh tisareif. Limeid ala chatat shesorfim ota b'kodesh. That we learn about a chatat that is burned b'kodesh. Ein li ala zubil vad. That's only this. Psule kodshei kodoshim. Ve'mure kodshim kalim. If we have things that are problematic with Kodshei Kodashim, or we have things that are problematic with Kodshei Kodashim, Minayin, how do I know that they're also burned? Talmud Omar, Bakodesh, Ba'esh Tisareif. Anything in the Kodesh is Ba'esh Tisareif. All the examples that are brought here are items that are in Kodesh that have the necessity to be kept within the walls of the Azara. These are items, whether they're Kodshei Kodashim, or they're the parts of Kodshei Kalim that must remain within the Azara. And the din is, kol shepsulo b'kodesh, if something happens that has a psul in the gufa korban b'kodesh, that it's burnt on location. Burnt on location means that it's kept in the azara and burnt in the azara. Where do we know that from? That's from this pasuk, b'kodesh ba'esh tisareif. That, if there's a problem, then b'kodesh ba'esh tisareif, it will be burnt in the kodesh. In the kodesh means inside the azara. So as opposed to if you had kodshim kalim that were allowed to be eaten in the whole city, then, if there's a psul in that, you can burn them outside the Mikdash. There are special locations that they had to burn them. But, if the Kodesh we're talking about here is Kodshei Kodashim, or parts of Kodshei Kalim that are limited in their Mechitzot to the Azara, then if there's a psul here, then they have to be burnt, because that's the din when there's a psul b'Kodesh. But not only do they have to be burnt, they have to be burnt b'Kodesh. They have to be burnt in the Kodesh itself. So that's the din that Rabbi Shimon learns out of this Pasuk. You're trying to use this Pasuk as a miut to try to say, okay, then Esh Tisareif does not apply to Kol Yisurim Torah, already have a necessity for this Pasuk. Necessity for this Pasuk is, by Kodesh Esh Tisareif tells me that when I have a problem in Kodesh, I have to burn it inside the Kodesh. So, Amarle. So this student back to him, Rabbi Yonatan Rabbeich, Mihaikra Kamarla, says back, your Rabbi, Rabbi Yonatan, didn't learn it from the Pasuk that I brought from Yubshua ben Levi, but rather from this Pasuk, which is, V'im Yivater Mibsar HaMilulim, if there are leftovers from the Bsar HaMiluim, these are the karbonot that are brought on the day of the consecration of the Mishkan. So the Bsar HaMiluim is the Shlamim that is brought, the Korban Miluim that's brought on that day, or the Lechem that is associated with it. If it's left over until the morning, then what's the din? V'sarachta et notar be'esh. You have to burn it be'esh. She'ein tamud lomar lo yachel. The Pasuk, on the other hand, doesn't just say be'esh tisareif. It says you also may not eat it. So it seems like that is unnecessary, because the Pasuk says, Imi vater b'sar miluim min alechem ad aboker, b'sarafta et notar ba'esh, lo ye'achel ki kodeshu. Well, why do I need you to tell me lo ye'achel if you told me already that it's ba'esh tisareif? How are you going to eat it if you're burning it? So why is that lo ye'achel necessary? So matom alomar lo ye'achel, imenu inyon legufe, tahakti b'sarafta et notar ba'esh. If it's not necessary for this Pasuk, because we already have the din that it's going to be burnt, so of course you're not going to eat it. Let's then take it out from here and utilize it for the other Isurim in the Torah. Again, once again, the other Isurim in the Torah have an explicit Isur Achila. So that will become the source of our Isur Hana'ah. The Gemara has the same problem here as it had with the previous source, which is, then if you're going to use this as your source for Isra Hana'ah, then imakan b'sreifa. Over here, what do you do with the notar? You burn it. So then, afko isrim shotara b'sreifa, that would indicate that anytime you have an Isra Hana'ah, you would have to burn it. So amar kara b'sarafta et notar. So once again, we have a mute. B'sarafta et notar, notar b'sreifa, v'ein kol isrim shotara b'sreifa. Only notar is done b'sreifa, not the other isrim in the Torah. Now the Gemara once again says, wait a minute, I don't know if you can use this pasuk, because hi lo yachel lahachi hu da'ata. This lo yachel, you're going to use it because it's extraneous, and that's become the source for Yisr Hanah, for the whole Torah kula. Hami vayleik the Rabbi Elazar. We need this for another limud, the limud of Rabbi Elazar. The Amar Rabbi Elazar, lo yachel ki kodeshu. The end of that pasuk that we just read from Sefer Shemot, that talks about what you do with the leftovers of the miluim, it ends like this, lo yachel, why won't you eat it? Kodeshu. Because it is Kodesh. Ko, shebi Kodesh pasul, ba kotuv liten lo taseh achilato. From that, Rabbi Elazar comes along and says that any time you have a problem in Kodesh, how do you know you're not allowed to eat it? Where's the Isser in the Torah that you may not eat something that has a problem in Kodesh? We don't have a Isser lav spelled out every time. So he says the source is from this pasuk. Anytime you have a problem in Kodesh, where's the lav? Or for instance, if there's something that has a punishment of paret, where's the azhara from? Where's the warning from? It's all from here, which is, that lo yachel ki kodeshu. So he learns the pasuk to teach you that koshi be kodesh pasul. Any problems in kodesh? Baka tuv liten lo tesali choto. That's lo yachel. Lo yachel, kodesh. Kodesh that has a problem, lo yachel, that's the source from here. Well, if that's the case, then you've used the lo yachel already. It's not extraneous anymore. It's not unnecessary. You're right, it's unnecessary in the context of the pasuk. But then I've used it for another reason, which is to give me this lav that I otherwise need. Once I've done that, it's not extra extraneous to use for Isra Hana'ah. Okay, so Amar Abaye, the Olam Mikra Kama. And so we have to learn out of the first pasuk, because it's clear the second pasuk, we really have a use for that word. Now, if you go back to the first pasuk, which is, well then, we also had a problem there, because we had the limud of Rabbi Shimon. But the problem there with the limud of Rabbi Shimon was only the problem in the issue of Sreifa. It wasn't in the actual limud. And that's what Abaye says, Ve'ipoch, delichto be'eshti saref. Let the Torah write be'eshti saref, ve'lo ba'i lo te'achel. And then you won't need the Isser of lo tochal. What Abaye does is says, okay, listen, before we didn't need the din of Be'eshti Saref because we already knew that din from Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu already told us that if you take the dam inside, that you burn it. So why are you telling me over here by the case of Chokhatat, Sheyuvah Duma Pnima, that Be'eshti Saref? That's a din I already knew. So that's how we did the lima the first time, and then we ran into a problem because you're learning it out of Be'ishti Saref. So what Abaye says is that's not the extraneous part of the pasuk. The extraneous part of the pasuk is actually the isur of not eating it, which is also over there, b'chol chatat asher yuvad dama pnima, the term lo tochal is also used in that case, which is, chol chatat asher yuvad al'o mo'ed l'chaper b'kodesh, lo te'achel Ba'esh tisarif. So there, the lo te'achel, he's saying now, is extraneous. Why is it extraneous? Because of Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Elazar from the pasuk in Shmot tells us that anytime you have a problem in Kodesh, there's already an Isur Lav. So then, if I already know there's an Isur Lav of Achila with anything that's wrong in Kodesh, then why do I need you to specify it again over here by the Chatat Pnima? I already know that information from Shmot Chavtat. Why do you have to tell me it again in Vayikra? So that's what the Gemara says. Im enu inyan le'achila. So I don't need it for achilah, I'll take it Isra Hana. Imakan b'sreifa, of course you're in the Torah b'sreifa. So you can say, oh, just like here, all the other places in Torah b'sreifa. Amakra hanotar. Notar b'sreifa, ve'en kol yisrim sh'b'torah b'sreifa. So the exclusion that I'll use for sreifa is from the pasuk about notar. So now what I've done is basically amalgamated or taken a composite of the two psukim. And between the two psukim, I come up with the din by cherry-picking pieces of them. Number one is the extraneous term here is not Be'eshti Saref anymore. The extraneous term is Lo Te'achel. So now Be'eshti Saref I can use for Rabbi Shimon's Limud, and I don't need it anymore. That's not the extraneous fact. What's the extraneous fact? That's Lo Te'achel. Now, Lo Te'achel is the extraneous fact. Why is that extraneous? That's from Chavtet. That's from Shmot that taught us that anything but Kodesh, it has an Isra Lav associated with it. It has an Isra Achila associated with it. So I know about an Isra Achila already. So now this Isra of Achila here is extraneous. So now I use that to teach me the Isra Hana. What about the problem of once I learn it from there, then it should be that all Isra Hana have a Sreifa. Again, I go back to Sreifa in Shmot Chavtet, and over there it says, that only Notar gets Sreifa, not everything else gets Sreifa. So in a composite between the two psukim, I'm able to come up with now an Isur Hana'ah that doesn't have any Sreifa associated with it, and that allows for all the other limudim to take place. The limud of Rebbe Elazar to take place, the limud of Rebbe Shimon to take place, and now I have my source for my Isur Hana'ah based on these psukim. So now, Amar Le Rav Papa the Abaye, Ve'ema Lichudei Le'lav Gufehu Da'ata. Now your claim is that I could learn this out from Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Elazar tells me anything that's in Kodesh has an Isur Lav Avichila associated with it. So I don't need this Pasuk specifically by the Chatat Pnima. Well, that's a little bit of a problem because the Imi Rabbi Elazar, Ein Lokim Alav Shebichalalot. Rabbi Elazar's din is not a din that is particular to one item. We have a principle in the Torah, something called Lav Shebichalalot. The only time you can get a Makot for a Lav is when it's a specific lav. It's unique. It's about a specific item, and that item is defined. If I have a lav in the Torah, which is a broad lav, a broad perspective, and from that lav I incorporate many different isurim, then you can't get malkot for that. We have lavim in the Torah, for instance, lo tochal al adam. Lo tochal al adam, which the Gemara darshans in numerous places for different things, including that one may not eat before tefillah in the morning. They also know that you may not eat from a korban before the dam goes on the mizbeach. So that is a lav shebilachlalot, because I'm using one lav for multiple isurim, to teach me multiple isurim. So yes, all those things are asur, but I cannot get malkot for them, because it's a lav shebilachlalot. That's a principle. So now over here, Rabbi Elazar gives us the information that anything b'kodesh, lo teachel, you can't eat it. So yes, anything that's a problem b'kodesh, I can't eat it. I have an isur. Will I get malkot for it? The answer is no, because it's a lav shebilachlalot, because this lav has broad application, applies to numerous items within Kodesh. And so because of that, I will not get Malkot for it. So what Rav Papa says to Abaye, why are you so certain over here that you're doing the right thing by saying that this is extraneous, and now I can use it for the Isur Hana'ah? It's really not extraneous, because with this Pasuk, I can now give Malkot to someone who eats from a Chatat Pnima. Until now, I had an Isur Doraita, but they couldn't get Malkot. So the lav is valuable, not because it teaches me a new isur, but it's valuable because now I can give someone makot. And that's enough of a reason to say that it's not extraneous over here. And so how can you learn from that pasuk your din of isur hana, the shar isurim shebetorah? And that's what Rav Papa's question is to Abaye. So then he says, Ela Amar Rav Papa. Rav Papa suggests now a different source for the isurim shebetorah. Mehocha. Rav Basar, asher yiga b'chol tamei, lo ye'achel ba'esh isarif. Any basar kodesh that becomes tamei, you may not eat it, and it is burnt. Now, we've seen this pasuk before in the first parak by Rav Chanina Skana Kohanim. This was the source for a shlishi bekodesh that allowed us to learn how to revi bekodesh. This is the source, because any tuma that touches the basar makes it pasul or tamei. And so therefore, what's tamei we know is abba tuma rishon tun sheni the tuma. So that's how we learned out shlishi the tuma. That's for Rav Yossi. Rabbi Akiva, since we can go down to a shlishi l'tuma, then we learned revi'i b'tuma. So Tosafot asked that question over here, don't we need it for that other limud? So he says we can learn it out from the part of the pasuk that we're not going to utilize for this limud. We can learn that out from a basar sheyiga b'chol tamei. That'll teach us about the tuma. Now, the extraneous part of the pasuk is, lo yachel ba'esh tisareif, so ain't tam alomar lo yachel, ma tam alomar lo yachel, why do I need lo yachel? Me'ein yin l'gufo, d'ha nafkalei mikal v'chomer, mimasar hakal. I could have learned that out from Maaser. Because Ma Maaser HaKal Amra Torah Lo Bi'arti Mimenu B'Tamei by Maaser. It says in Vidui Maaser that's found in Parshat Ki Tavo. One of the things that you see in Vidui Maaser is that I did not Lo Bi'arti Mimenu B'Tamei. I did not, here it means consume it bituma. That means I didn't eat it when it was Tamei. So if I know that by Maaser, which is a much lighter form of Kedusha, then certainly by Basar Kodesh you can't eat it when it's Tamei. Basar kodesh chamor lo koshekein? So then certainly, I don't need the Isur Lav of lo yachel over here because I could have learned that out from a kal v'chomer from Maaser. So the Gemara says, okay, v'chi teima. Wait, maybe you want to say that ein mazirim min adin. Maybe you want to tell me that we have a principle in the Torah that you can't be mazir min adin, which means that even though you can dan a kal v'chomer and you can make such a logical argument, the answer is you're right. The logical argument works. But the only thing the logical argument helps you is to create an Isur. What you can't do is punish based on that. You cannot give Malkot based on that. So now here, if you want to have Malkot in this case, then you need the Lo Teachel, otherwise you're not going to give Malkot. So that Kal V'Chomer, since a Kal V'Chomer is one of those items that a person can be Dan Mi'atzmo, it's a logical argument that anybody can make, therefore we say, Ein Onshim Min Adin, Ein Mazirin Min Adin, We say that those types of arguments, while they can generate yisurim, we will not give punishments because they're left up to human logic. There aren't things that come bimisora. So if that's the case, you haven't really solved my problem. He says, don't say that, because it's not just a kal v'chomer, hekeshahu. It's actually a hekesh. A hekesh means that they're juxtaposed in a single pasuk, and because of that, that juxtaposition gives me the right to transfer the information from one to the other. And that is found in a pasuk in Devarim, which says, lo tuchal lechol bisharecha, maser degancha, vitiroshcha, vitzarecha, ubichorot bicharcha. So over here, the pasuk includes both maser, and basar kodesh. And in both of those, they're found in the same pasuk. So since they're found in the same pasuk, now I have a hekesh between the two of them. Once I have a hekesh between the two of them, it's no longer a logical argument. Now it becomes a limud that is done through one of the midot ha-Torah. And therefore, I can now, quote-unquote, transfer, or I have a din whereby I cannot eat maser that's tamei, then certainly I cannot eat basar that's tamei. And therefore, lo yachel now becomes extraneous. So, ma toma domar lo yachel. That's the case. What do I need the lo yachel by basar tamei to teach me? If I don't need it there, let me transfer it. Let me utilize it for the Yisurim B'Torah. Again, if I don't need it for achila, let me use it for hana'ah. Once again, I'm faced with the problem that over here, the pasuk says, ba'esh tisareif, which would imply that if you have an Isra hana'ah, that it's then bisreifa. Of course, Yisurim B'Torah, bisreifa. That means that all the other Yisurim in the Torah should also have the bisreifa. Amar kra hanotar. So he used the posuk found in Chavtet that says, Vanotar ba'esh tisareif, that anotar b'sreifa, ve'en bo yisurim shvetorah b'sreifa. I tell you that sreifa applies to notar, does not broadly apply to all the yisurim in the Torah. So that's Rav Papa's source for this Isur Hana'ah. Because again, we left Piski and Rabbi Bao behind because we weren't willing to use any of their limudim. So we had to come up with a new limud. We had an attempt at a limud here by the Rabbanon that was sitting in front of Hershmo bar Nachmani. That presented a problem. Then we had a second attempt, which was brought from Rabbi Yonatan, his Rebbe. And then we had a third attempt by Abaye. And then we finally had this Rav Papa who comes up with the fourth try, and we finally come up with the possibility of creating an Isur Hana'ah from this extraneous Pasuk. So now the Gemara says, wait a minute. Is it so true that this Pasuk is extraneous? So Amar Le Ravina Le Ravashi, Ve'emela Vorala Bishnei Levin. We know that sometimes you can be in violation of an Isur in the Torah, and you can be in violation of multiple lavim for a single isur. So if that's the case over here, why do you suggest that the isur lav over here is extraneous? Maybe it's coming to double up. And to say that you do this, you get a double lav. Not just one, you get a double lav. And you get twice the makot. Bikulav mi amar Abaye. Don't we have this from Abaye? This is a sugya that we saw together in Iruvin and Tafkav Chedam and Aleph, which is achal potita. Someone who eats a sheret samayim, loke arba. He gets four sets of malkot. So the reason he gets four sets of malkot is based on the psukim, which is you have a pasuk in Vayikra Perek Yud Aleph, which says, V'chol asherin los napir b'keset v'yamim v'nachlim b'chol sheretz ha-mayim. So then the next pasuk after it says, V'sheketz yulachem mibsaram lo tochelu. That's one isur for sheretz ha-mayim. There are two more isurim for sheretz ha-mayim that come that are joint for all shkatzim and rimasim, which is, in the pasuk Mem Gimel there, it says, "Al tishaksu et nafshutechem b'chol sheretz hasheretz, v'lo tetamu behem nitmeitem bam." So that gives you three isurim, and the fourth one is found in Devarim in Parshat Re'eh, which says, "V'chol sherein lo snapir v'kaskeset lo tochelu tameihu lachem." Those are four isurim that apply to shretzei hamayim. Nimala, an ant, lokeh chamesh. That you get five sets of makot for, and that's what we call sheretz haaretz. Sheretz Haaretz is one from Pasuk Mem Aleph in Vayikra, which says, V'chol sheretz ha-sheretz ha-la-aretz, sheketz hu lo ye'achel, one isur. Next one is the next following Pasuk, which is, Kol oleich al-gachom, v'chol oleich al-arba, kol marbe raglaim, v'chol sheretz ha-sheretz ha-la-aretz, lo tuchlum, ki sheketz heim, second isur. Then the same Pasuk Mem Gimel that we use by sheretz ha-mayim, there, which is a generic isur for shvatzim, we have another two isurim, that gets you up to four. And then the fifth one for sheretz ha-aretz is, in the subsequent pasuk Mem Dalet, it says, "Ki ani Hashem lokeichem itgashem b'item kodeshim kodesh ani v'lo titamu et nafshutechem kol sheretz haromeis al ha'aretz." So therefore, I have five yisurim that are associating with sheretz ha'aretz. And then he says, "Tzira for a flying sheretz lokesh sheish." You get six sets of makot. You get the same five you get for nimala because the sheretz that flies is also a sheretz ha'aretz. So you get those five, plus you get an additional one for the sheretz ha'ov. The sixth one for sheretz ha'ov is found in Varim, which is called sheretz ha'ov, tamehu lachem lo ye'achelu. So there I have six levim. So what he's showing, or what the question that he's posing to Rav Ashi is, listen, here you have isurim, you're in violation of one isur, you eat one ant, and you're getting five sets of makot for it. You eat one wasp, you're getting six sets of makot. And why can't I say the same thing about the pasuk that Rav Popa brings about basar kodesh, that's tamei? Okay, you're right, I could have learned it out of maser, but now I have two levim. So you eat it, you get two sets of makot. Why can't I say that? Why does it have to be extraneous? So the Gemara answers here, it's an important answer, which is, I'm like, kohecha de ika le midrash darshina. Below Mikmilinam the Lavi Yutera. Lavi Yutera, extra Levim, is a last resort. If I have another option, I'd rather make a drush out of the Pasuk than say that I get multiple Levim for the same Isur. So over here I have a choice. I have an option to use it for a drusha. I'd rather do that than use it for multiple Levim. So now the Gemara says, okay, Babasara Sheigabakotamelo Yachel Dereshe Lamali. Why do I need the first half of the Pasuk? You explain to me now. The latter half of the pasuk, which is all extraneous, lo yachel beish tisareif, that's to teach me about Isirim Torah. But if that's the case, v'basar sheyigah b'chol tamei, what's that coming to teach us then? What's the necessity of that part of the pasuk? So Gemara says, v'rabot etzim u'livanah. That comes to include the wood and the livanah, the frankincense that's used in the mikdash, things that are not barachila, things that are not normally eaten, that they are now included for the din of tumah. So David, you would ask about this. Where is the source for this idea of Chibat HaKodesh? This is where the source of Chibat HaKodesh is, which is here. This basar, we're saying from this word basar, we're including items that are not normally considered or part of Tumat Ochlim. And those things that we're including here are now Itzim and Livona. Items that are Kodesh, that are used by Kodesh, but don't have a din of Achila. Nevertheless, they're able to be Mekabel Tumat. Then the Gemara says, "Vabasar kol tohor yochal." Pasuk ends, meaning that this pasuk, which we're claiming is now all extraneous, has a number of parts to it. It says, "Basar sheigab kol tamei lo yachel ba'ish tisareif." Now, lo yachel ba'ish tisareif we used for the isur hana'a. The beginning of the pasuk of basar sheigab kol tamei. Now, habasar, which was extraneous, we're using that to include itzim levona. But there's the latter half of the pasuk, which is, "Vabasar kol tohor yochal basar." What are we going to use that for? Vabasar kol tohor yachol basar, that the Gemara says, Vabasar kol tohor yachol basar, the seifi lamali, what do I need that for? The rabot emurim. That comes to teach me about emurim. Emurim that even though they're not eaten by a human being, they're still eaten by the mizbech. And so the basar, asher yachol, that means that basar that's eaten, not only by the human beings, but by the mizbech, also is included in this isur. And therefore, there's an isur associated with the emurim, or there's tumah sum suri with the emurim as well. The Gemara says, Imurim mehatam nafka? That's where you learn out the problem of Imurim. Titanya, don't we have a baraita? Vanefesh asher tochal basar mizevach hashlamim asher Hashem, rabot eta Imurim. That any person that eats from the basar zevach hashlamim, that's from Hashem, that includes the Imurim. So I already have a source for Tumah and Imurim. Why do I need a second pasuk? Here the Gemara gives a very important answer and a very important distinction, something that you need to know whenever it comes to Tumah and Kodesh, which is, Hatam tumata guf bikare. There you're talking about the individual is tamei. That the punishment for eating kodesh when you're tamei is kare. Hacha b'tumat basar. Here we're talking about the tuma of the item itself. The person is tahor, but the basar is tamei. That's only an isur lav. So you actually have two psukim in a row in the Torah, and they're teaching you these two different dinim, which is your pasuk yutet in Perek Zayin, which is a basar shirga b'chol tamei lo yachel ba'ishi sareif basar kol tahor yochal basar. So there, that basar we're saying is including emurim, but those are emurim that they themselves are tmeim. Person is tahor. He's not allowed to eat those emurim that are tmeim, and that's only an isur lav. The subsequent pasuk says, "Banefesh asher tochal basar mizevach hashemim asher Hashem v'tumato alav." Tumato alav means on him. On him meaning the person is tamei, v'nifrata nefeshahi me'ameha. That person gets a chiyuv karet. So you have two psukim in the row teaching about tumah by kodeshim. One teaching you that if the individual is tamei and eats kodesh, chiyuv karet. The other one, pasuk, teaches you that when the emurim, or the basar is tamei, and the person who is tahor eats them, then he has an isur lav. And that's why I need two ribuim, one for the emurim when the emurim are tameim, and one for the emurim when the person is tamei, and therefore they are separate dinim, and that's why I have two ribuim for emurim. And now we move on to a new sugya. I'm Rabbi Bar Rabbi Yochanan. Kol isurim shebetorah, ein lokim alehem el derech achilatan. When we're talking about Isurim in the Torah, Isurei Achila, then you have to eat them the normal way that people eat them. So if you were going to say to you, you're restricted from eating this item, you have to eat it in the way that most people consume it in order to be Chayav. Lumutei Mai, what does that come to exclude? Amar Shimi Bar Ashi Limute Shimachal Chelev Chai Shepatur. That comes to teach you that if you eat, it doesn't mean live fat, it means raw fat. If you eat raw fat, that you're patur. There's a restriction in the Torah from eating chelev. You're not allowed to consume, you're not allowed to eat chelev. But that's only chelev. How do people eat fat normally? They heat it up, they cook it, and that's how they eat it. If you go ahead and eat the fat raw, then you're not eating it the way that normal people eat it, and that's not called achila, and therefore it's not governed by this isur. It might be asur, but you're not going to get makot from that because that's not derech achila. Some say that this was the formulation. Not just a statement about achila, but a statement about hana as well. So that you only, if there's a restriction on achila, plus there's a restriction on hana'ah, you will only get makot for that if you eat it in the normal way and you utilize it in the normal way. You get hana from the normal way. Limute mai. Where does that come to exclude? So Amar Rav Shimi Bar Ashi Limute Sheminiyah Chelev Shel Shura Niskal Gabi Makato. He takes the fat from a Shura Niskal, which is one of the things we said is Asur Bana, right? We said Shura Niskal and Chametz on Pesach are two things that have an Isra Achila and Isra Hana'ah with them. So here you have an Isra Hana'ah, and he takes that fat and he uses it as a salve for his wound. So that's not the normal way that people use it. Shu patur, then he's patur in that case. And certainly a case, ochel chelev chai shu patur. If you eat raw fat, that's also not derech hanato. So here, it's more expansive. In the first statement we had from Rabbi Yochanan, I was only talking about achila, isurim that involved achila. Here we're talking about even isurim that involve hana'ah. You have to do it in the normal way that people use it, get the hana from it, the normal way people get hana from it. If not, you're not going to get the malkot for it. Again, it's patur, meaning patur of al asur. It's still asur, but you're not going to get malkot in that case. Itmar nami, we have a similar statement. Amrav acha bar avyo, amrav asi, amrav yochanan. Niya chelev shoshua niskal gabi makatov, someone who places the fat from a shor niskal on his wound, patur. So here you have it as a clear statement, not as general statement, and then the application of it. Here we have it applied directly to the fat of shor niskal. So amrav zera, afanan nami tanina. We can actually find this in a Mishnah, that it's not only that, but we can find it within the Mishnaic works, which goes, Ein sub kimet arbaim mishum orla, ela yotzei min azeitim umin aravim. Person does not get malkot for orla, the isur of orla, except for things that derive from olives and grapes. Bilvad. Be'ilu mitutim teini virimonim lo. But if you take the juices out of pomegranates, figs, or berries, then you're not chayav. So what we see here is that you only chayav for orla when you have liquids that come out of olives and grapes, not when you have liquids that come out of other fruits. Mai taima. What's the difference between olives and grapes and these other fruits? La mishum deloka achalu derech hanatan. Is it because he's not utilizing the normal way? Grapes and olives are utilized for their juice. And that's actually the primary purpose of them. They're mostly used for the liquid that comes out of them. On the other hand, tutim, teinim, and rimonim, they're eaten as a fruit. They're not used for their juice. So here, if you use the liquids that come out of a grape or out of an olive, then you're using them the way that most people use them. And that's why you're going to be chayav for orla in that case. On the other hand, if you take juices out of these other fruits, you're not using it the normal way that people use it. And so therefore, you're not going to be chayav. So what Rabbi Zeir wants to say is, from this Mishnah, you see exactly what Rabbi Yochanan said, which is that there's a difference between if you get hana'ah or you get benefit from something the normal way that people do, and when you do it in an abnormal way. That'll be the difference here. Amar Le Abaye. Abaye says, Bishlama Yishmeinen Pri Gufa Deloka Achile Derech Hanato Shapir. Wait a minute. If the Mishnah had taught us about him eating the fruit in an unusual way, then what you're saying would be true. But that's not what the Mishnah is discussing over here. The Mishnah over here is not discussing about the fruit itself, but rather about the juice that comes out of the fruit. And if that's the case, Alahocha Mishum Dezea Ba'al Mahu. This is the reason that the fruit juices over here are not meaningful. It's not because it's not normal. It's because they have no significance whatsoever. This is the third time we've seen this. We saw this once in Brachot, with the Garei Brachot on juices. What bracha do you make on juices? And when it comes to fruit juices, you make a shahakol, because the juices that come out of the fruits are not considered to be of significance. They're considered to be zeya ba'alma, the sweat of the fruit. And therefore, they do not get a bori priya eitz, only a shahakol. We saw this in Shabbat with the Garei Schita, that you're only chayav for schita mina Torah for zeitim and anavim. Because people only squeeze those fruits for the juices, that's a normal way of schita. When you're sochet other fruits, it's maybe asur de rabbanan, and depending, there's a machloket tanaim as to what's asur de rabbanan, and what is muta de gamre, but you're not chayav, because again, the liquids that come out of these other fruits are not considered to be real liquids. And here now again we have it, which is the gavei orla. You're only going to be chayav in orla for juices that come out of fruits that are normally the juices have significance to them. If you're taking out seya ba'alma, you're taking sweat out of a fruit, that that doesn't have significance, and there's no iser ola that is associated with it, and that's the difference here. It has nothing to do with normal and abnormal eating. It has to do with whether it's considered to be a juice or it's not considered to be a juice. Right, so we discussed it back in Brachot as to what today maybe the halachos might be different with regards to fruit juices. It might especially be true in two instances. One is where the fruits are grown specifically for their juices, so it's very hard to argue in that case that it's zeya ba'alma. And the second case is today, many times, the fruit juices include pieces of the fruit in them. They're no longer filtered, and so, for instance, orange juice has pulp in it. So over there, it's much easier to argue that it should be bori pri ha'etz. I think they poskim, the modern-day poskim, hint in that direction, but don't take that full step to say that it should be bori pri ha'etz. They all say that they're choshesh for that problem or that issue, to think that it should be a bori pri ha'etz. They're not as willing to make the step and say that it should definitively be bori pri ha'etz. It probably should be bori pri ha'etz. Again, remember, if you make a shahakol, in the end, you cover bori pri ha'etz. You make a bori pri ha'etz, it's supposed to be a shahakol, you don't cover it. But in all likelihood, the truth is that today, in a lot of these juices, we should be making a bori pri ha'etz and not a shahakol. And that is for exactly what you're saying here, that their view of the fruit juices then is very different than our view of these fruit juices, especially given that fruits are grown specifically for their juice, and again, that there are pieces of fruit in the juices themselves. Okay, now Amar Abaye, Hakol Modim Bikilay Akerem Shlokim Alehem Afilu Shlok Derech Hanatam. Now here's the exception to the rule. So as opposed to all the other rules where you're only chayab when you do a Derech Hanatam, the normal way that you get hana from it, Kilay Akerem is different in that you get Malkot here even if you do it Shlok Derech Hanatam. So what's the reason behind that? Mishum Delok Tibu Achila. Because there's no, the Isser of Kilay Akerem never mentions the word Achila that is associated with it. So that's interesting because what they're saying now is that achila teaches me that that's the normal way, and as we said before, maybe the primary way to get hana from a food. The food item, the main way that you get hana from it is by eating it. So achila now is just a representation of the normal way or the primary way to get hana from the object. So if I express the isur as an achila, then I know that I have that primary or the way to get hana from this is through achila, which is the normal way to do it. And therefore, the Isur is only Derech Hanatan. But over here, we have an Isur Achila and an Isur Hana'ah that derives from a source in the Pasuk that does not include Achila. So then, Derech Hanatan no longer applies because I don't have that guidepost. I don't have that Achila to teach me that it has to be Derech Hanatan. Okay, we're going to stop over here.